Tuesday. Mark was on the 9 a.m. call. He was talking about being around people who are angry and racist. Anybody remember that? And I said, well, maybe we can continue this conversation on Thursday night. Maybe.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to. I don't know exactly how we were meant to continue it, but I do remember saying it. Ashwini.
Well, the thing that was one of the most incredible conversations for me, because I was reporting before that show that I was feeling like I'm starting again at base one of practice. And the conversation offered a framework of how of what practice was all about that was mind-blowing to me. And there were two places where it was so profound, which is we're always just doing awareness practice. And what that implies is really getting clear what is ego and what is life. Mm. And knowing that we're not ego, we're eager to determine what that is. Mm-hmm. And so that place of self-hate, which is always the ego response to being exposed, doesn't have to be an orientation. It can be, wow, I just saw that, and I'm not that. Yay.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the encouragement to jump into those situations instead of avoiding them.
To put ourselves in those situations which we would otherwise avoid because it brings up the worst of me, or what am I afraid to see about myself that I avoid those situations? But the freedom lies in seeing that that's not me. And being free of that aversion, because now I'm free because I'm not afraid of encountering anything. Mm-hmm. Because nothing in life is going to be something that I'm afraid of. Because life will be seeing life. It's only when life sees ego does the ego have a problem with it.
Right. Yeah. That's a really interesting point. Life doesn't have a problem with ego. Ego has a problem with ego being seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and the other part of that I thought was so... that was so reflected is that there is no step. So I put myself into those situations, not from a perspective of a contest that I'm going to win, but because I want to see what I want to see, and there's such freedom in that. And I have that experience of every time I go back to India, and I'm in those highly charged karmic dynamics, I get to see what I need to see about it. And that's simply it. I don't have to be successful. I don't have to be skillful. I don't have to change myself. I don't have to change anyone I'm interacting with. I just get to see what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And that what I do or see in that situation will be contextual. In other words, what conditioning would have me believe is that because I practice and because I can pay attention, I'm not going to react when my dad says that annoying thing at the dinner table.
And in fact...
And I do.
Right. And you get to see it. You get to see how ego takes and holds that position and then wants to defend and get angry and be upset
and have
opinions.
And over the 6 years I've been doing practice and going back, what you said to Mark was so true. At first, I would react. Then the transformation was I would say nothing and feel the self-hate. Then I would say nothing and not feel the self-hate. And then I could actually respond with a joke. Or then ask him what was so interesting to him about that and not make it about me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the options.
Yeah, and it's just that the transformation happens because we show up in those situations and face what we don't want to face and see what we... do see, as a consequence of which, we're transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So wow. From being a bigot, that's what self-hate would judge my father for, to being somebody who has an interesting perspective that I would never have been open to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that place of I get to see that in calling him a bigot, mm-hmm. I'm being a bigot,
that's right.
Which is so helpful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. So go ahead.
I found that show incredibly powerful too. And the thing that just stayed with me was that not
yeah, running. Do try to speak up as okay. much as you can.
The not running and to going into the situation, which I could just so just I found many applications,
mm-hmm.
Especially in my family, you know, just like yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That conditioned impulse to just
that's it.
I'm not
going there.
Yeah,
and leaving it just it's just so. The other thing that you said about that so hurts my heart mm-hmm. when he, you know, what he went through, what he the stages of what he might say in the presence of a racist joke, mm-hmm. and then eventually coming to the place where he's. Might be able to say that so hurts my heart,
mm-hmm.
And oh, that was so powerful, and I realized that so hurts my heart to shut people out like that,
mm-hmm.
like I have been doing,
mm-hmm.
out of fear.
Right. So they, whoever that person is. Shuts people out because of whatever, then I shut them out because of whatever, and somebody shuts me out because of whatever, and the only winner in all of that is ego.
Yeah, the whole world is shut out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so just having that possibility opened up, like what Ashwini was just pointing to, just being able to, who knows? What's possible
yeah.
in these relationships, but I want to take a stand for love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we realize that only difficulty is ego, and we want to reveal ego,
yes.
then we might as well hop on in there and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Was it in, I guess it was in today's show, but when you talked about the only thing that is born is ego and the only mm-hmm. thing that dies is ego. Another powerful teaching that was like, wow. So what is there to be frightened of?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Nothing can happen to what you actually are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just...
Why do I want to cling to something that's going down?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Just to suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason. I mean, that's the only result
mm-hmm.
of clinging to something that can't survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just never going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big dose of clarity.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Thank you. Yeah.
One of the things I liked about it was that it seemed like a point was made that the only time there's a problem or things get going wrong is when we take things personally, when we're a me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so related to our whole practice this year of emptying the teacup. And I've really been seeing that all year long about how... When it's made about me, then it all goes awry because uh-huh. there's no way for life to be presenting in that situation.
Uh-huh. And you know, when you say that, it's so interesting because, you know, you're going along and you're having a good day. You don't care what's happening with anybody else. And they can have the worst day of their lives. Who cares? It's not real. Doesn't have anything to do with you.
May not even know it.
You don't even know it.
Yeah.
And even if they say it, really? That doesn't seem that bad.
That's sensitive.
Yeah. Really? No, I wouldn't worry about that. Haven't you had people say
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that.
That's nothing to worry about.
Sounds so parental, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it sounds like my father. Oh, I don't want to worry about that. Nothing there. Yeah, okay. It seems not to be happening to you. And that's exactly what it is, right? Anybody that's not happening to, clearly it's not a problem. That's what makes it a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the so in order to learn about that process, the throwing yourself into the situations that will reveal that, I've been seeing that I've been avoiding that a lot, even in practice, kind of tiptoeing around, you know, and I can just see that the real courageous place and the real place that makes sense is exactly that, is to just go for it. Who cares?
Yeah, and I would project that most of the people that most of us admire are people who have done that.
Yes.
Just,
yeah.
Van Kai with his bleeding, bless you, his bleeding butt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Didn't slow him down. Mm. Now, a lot of people would have said, well, you know, at least you could find something besides a rock to sit on.
Yeah.
Right? But no. He was going somewhere, and that was all that really mattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, all we're being asked to face is places where the ego gets bruised.
Yes, yes. Well, and that's the places where, yeah, exactly, wherever that sort of situation happens, we know ego is under there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, when there's something that gets snagged on, you know, and your hackles go up or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or your feelings get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So
good to see.
These 9 o'clock calls have just been amazing.
They're good, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm going to put them all on one. One thing that I can listen to one after another on the recorder.
Oh.
I'm in the process of doing that.
Oh, I should do that too, because I don't hear them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ought to hear them. Boy, you would be surprised. Fabulous.
Yeah. Good idea, Rebecca.
Well, it feels like that it ties in with the last of the communication email class on facilitation. Because just kind of throwing yourself into those mm-hmm. situations with the tools of facilitation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that just, you know, and I had a opportunity to practice that recently, where I was back with some family. This was earlier in the month, and I took a road trip with one of my sisters, so a lot of time. And
that's gutsy.
It was a short road trip, 36 hours, but still. And
that's short.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
It didn't feel short, did it?
But the opportunity was, and you know, it wasn't about politics, although it was the weekend after the election. It wasn't about, because we see eye to eye on politics and all that, but it was about her view of my life by choice to live here, you know, and what that's doing to the family and all of that. And I had a nice opportunity. It was kind of a, you know, beginning and end time to where she was saying some, so it wasn't like on the 5-hour drive, you know, it was just a little chunk of time. And I was really able to facilitate. And there was, you know, at first, I could just feel all the, you know, all that paralysis or the anger, the whatever, the you don't understand and all of that, just like what Mark was describing.
You don't understand. I'm doing this because I am a spiritual person. And I want to live from center with loving kindness for all, okay? Shut up. Like that.
And you never. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like that. But I didn't say that.
Restraint.
And the train, the facilitation training kicked in, and I was actually able to be with her and really feel it. And she felt it because she said that, you know, and I even said something, you know, like, and I'm not unsympathetic to how this would feel to you, you know, and boy, that was what, you know, the tears and the, you know, she was in the back seat, I was in the front seat, she reached up and we held, you know, held hands, all that, and she thanked me for that, and then I could see ego come in to try to take credit, like, see, I am the bigger person, and you know, and all that. It was just right there.
Maybe I should point that out to her.
Well, yeah.
But I'm curious to know, at any point did you let her sit in the front seat with you?
My daughter was there too.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was just chauffeuring her around out. Yeah. So,
Miss Daisy.
but so I guess what I'm just drawing on is that there, the content really is numerous. There's just all kinds of opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, politics is a great one, but boy,
it's not the only
one.
No, because before, that's the, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't see eye to eye. It's not like this election was the turning point. Before that, yeah, boy, we were all in agreement. Right?
Yeah.
So it, yeah.
Yeah.
Tons of subjects, especially when you get together with family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it just does seem to go hand in glove with the whole communication email class. And I don't know, just the trajectory we seem to be on as Sangha and in becoming a Sangha of facilitators, a Sangha who's, you know, really being that in the world. And it's just beautiful to practice. And and it's just a nice little plus when we get to have those moments like that. Like I had with her.
Yeah, when it works.
When it works.
Because you can facilitate a lot of places that don't get all warm and fuzzy,
and
right?
Your hand.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just made it through another meal.
Yeah. I'm having an experience of God and the devil wrestling for the soul. And before I do that, before I talk about that, I wanted to just...
We'll back burner that one for a while.
Back burner that one. That was the joke.
Yeah.
Because I think it needs to be back burnered, and that's what I'm going to look at.
I see.
But there were some really good lines in my family about that parental line of...
Can you hear?
No.
No. That parental line that you just gave a flavor of. And they were, you don't know you're born. You don't know you're born. Like, if you really knew what problems were...
B-O-R-N?
Yeah.
You don't know you're born.
Like being...
See, that's one of those, boy, you have to be there, right? That makes perfect sense, but... Lost in translation. So you really don't...
You don't know what it's like to be alive because you don't know hardship. I lived through the war and rationing, and you've never gone a day without... You don't know you're born. And you'd be worse about ill.
Oh, you don't know you're born. Yeah, so if you'd been through any hard times, then you would know what life is like.
Exactly.
And so of course, like me.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah,
so the grandmother who lived through the war and rationing and bombing said that to her daughter, who only had a little bit of poverty, you know, and then her daughter, you don't know you're born. And you'd be worse if out ailed you. You'd be worse if there was actually anything wrong.
Wow.
You'd be worse if anything ailed you.
You'd be worse if anything ailed you.
But
be grateful for what you've got.
You'd be worse if that ailed you. But so,
isn't it amazing the expressions? That would be a fabulous book. You know, all of the expressions from different cultures that say that exact same thing.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand. Right. I know suffering.
I know.
But you, your problems. You don't have any problems.
Yeah.
You don't have any real problems. Anybody grow up with that? You don't have any real problems.
Yeah. I don't know if this happens here, but sometimes if you're standing waiting for a bus in the north of England and you're looking, you know, not too cheerful, someone will come up and say,
Oh, okay, so you're in the north of England and you're waiting for a bus and you're standing there not looking too cheerful and somebody comes up and says,
cheer up, love, it might never happen.
Cheer up, love, it might never happen.
Which is amazing. Awareness practice wisdom, because mm-hmm. they can see you're in a story about mm-hmm. something that might, that's uh-huh. going to happen, that's mm-hmm. awful, and they say, cheer up, love, it might never happen.
Uh-huh.
No, amazing.
Yeah, that
it's
is amazing.
It's a great intervention. Mm-hmm. Like, some, just some
but structure. What you want to do is say, oh yeah, my mother just died.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes,
you know, just like, to put them in their place.
So like, if you're a stroppy teenager, I think right. on occasion said, it already has. You know? But yeah, it's that intuition that you're lost in a story.
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely.
Just some kind stranger, cheer up, love, that never happened.
Right.
The God and the Devil Wrestling for the Soul, which is, back to the conversation about
God and the devil wrestling for the soul. I don't know why your voice doesn't carry. I'm getting to these people.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got like three more people of volume to go.
Yeah. Wow.
Three well, more rows keep, to keep, turn it up.
Yeah, keep mm-hmm. turn it. Keep it cranked
oh,
up.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah.
What I heard in the conversation earlier this week on the radio show was seeing what's ego, seeing what's authenticity, and being fearless about that, because we're not identified with ego in that process.
That's right. So I get it that there is authenticity and there is ego. And my job mm-hmm. as a human being
yep.
is to know which is which.
Yes.
To recognize the difference between the two. Not really, because we actually can't, but mm-hmm. still, that's what we're going for. So mm-hmm. authenticity, of course, is not defensive about anything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hold any, mm-hmm. I mean, it is all opinions, so it probably doesn't prefer one over the other. But ego, of course, has a lot of opinions. So we know that when we get that, then we've hit ego.
Right, because it's the experience of seeing ego want to maintain a position to keep me away from everything that I love.
Yes, yes. Well, the way I would say it is that ego wants to maintain a position so that ego can maintain a position.
So that it can maintain itself.
Yeah, yeah. Because it actually, as far as I can tell, doesn't care about anything other than that.
Yeah.
You're happy, you're okay. If it can be the center of the universe, that's fine. It's just, it doesn't work that way, so you have to be unhappy. It's not personal, right? It's just that ego survival depends upon you being unhappy, so sorry.
Yes. So the experience is, right now, or just this evening, that there's this feeling of a pull into a particular experience of emotion that feels connected with that process that you just described. And it feels like a particular type of teariness and kind of a particular type of, it's like a despair.
So there's the pull, you're feeling the pull into a teariness,
yeah.
or actually going toward despair.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm like, I can't do this, uh-huh. you know? And it's like,
right, I can't do this.
Or this separation is real, and the position is more important than.
Uh-huh, so the separation is real, and the position is more important than, was there a finish to that?
So what you thought was real about the heart and authenticity isn't real, this is real, this feeling of
uh-huh.
the position, this despair, this...
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes, 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 yes.
And what...
You were wrong about all of that.
Exactly,
yeah. And perhaps we should say, this is authenticity.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. despair.
And it's despair, and it's I can't do it, and I am separate, and they are, and I, you know, all like that. It's
mm-hmm.
real.
Mm-hmm.
And what is very fortunate about this happening now is that it happened last week, and I saw something big about it last week, which is that it feels like this particular type of teariness feels like if you were tuning in a radio And you heard lots of, you know, crackling and static and faint hints of stations out there. And you hit this, the feeling would be, oh yeah, that's the station. That's a clear frequency. So it's like it's going around and there's...
So it's looking, tuning in the radio, yeah. Right? Looking,
yeah.
And then it hits the connection.
It hits this feeling, this emotional frequency, and says, that's real.
Uh-huh.
And what I saw is that's...
Not real. Yeah.
It's only... that I've been trained or whatever to tune like that, oh, that's real. If like in all, so like going around this evening, there might be all sorts of experiences, sensations passing through, and something gets put together so that this one comes up, and it's like, I've hit the dial, I've hit the station.
Yes.
This is the one I need to listen to.
Yes, and there's a perfect, to me, that's a perfect description of karma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Karma is what's real.
And the reason, I am catching on to this is hearing you say that karma feels that feeling of it feels so right. Mm-hmm. This feeling.
It's what I know. It's true. It's yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the most real thing out there in this big infinite experience world of this evening. This is the station, this is the frequency. And it feels not only the most real, but the one I most need to attend to because
it's the most important.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, best way I can describe it is, there's a feeling of, it's like when you scratch an itch, that I've just noticed this feeling of, it feels like a relief because it's so there and so urgent that this is what I need to be doing in this moment. It's the most real thing there is. Mm-hmm. And with that feeling, this is the place I need to be and be attending to because it's the most real thing out here at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And, which, of course, that making that connection, that's why when people are learning to meditate, the guidance is, yes, it itches, don't scratch it.
Exactly.
Because there's the...
Yeah.
There's what it's pointing to.
So this evening I've been practicing not going there, like feeling that... feeling it going on and the connection being made and it's real and this is what you most need to attend to, but just coming back to I choose unconditional love. And if you have any training tips for a place to go with it.
Well, the place that I like to go with it is, your ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you feel so, I mean, you can have a little conversation with it if it, you know.
Yeah.
That's why it feels so real because you've been around for countless, and I see what you are.
Yeah.
Because and it is easy to see it in that way because anything that's actually real is not fixed. You know, that's such a big clue about what is what.
Mm. Yes, and I've also noticed that anything that's real doesn't talk about
how real it is.
Yes. Yeah. Doesn't have to.
Right. Right, because it's real. And so what you're experiencing is that there's all of this stuff, and then there's this one thing that is real.
Mm-hmm.
And so without focusing on that, what are we left with? All this stuff. Right? So there's all this possibility.
Yeah.
And what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants to do is say, no, that one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That flows right down.
That one. Whereas without doing that, we're just left with this vast possibility.
Do you know, I noticed this evening I was standing outside and feeling that pull and not going and that's ego and not real. And I noticed... I was suddenly looking up at the sky and I could see it and it was like vast and it was like that movement, I felt that movement of, oh, this might be here to attend to.
Right.
Not
closed
in on myself.
Yes.
In this most real
frequency. That was like, one of the things I heard myself say this morning that I really actually liked. It was in the conversation with Michael where what we're conditioned to believe is that if I tune into the news, mm-hmm. I mean, this is not too much for you folks, but out there, it's a big deal, you know, that you need to be connected to the news mm-hmm. and to social media and to know what's going on, because mm-hmm. that's how you have a big world. Mm-hmm. That's how you're a part of the larger world.
Yes.
And it's actually how you're a part yeah. of this very, very small world
yeah.
in exactly the way that you saw. When you look up at the sky or look up at the stars and realize, oh, that's what's vast. Mm-hmm. Not more information about the same exact thing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's so very helpful. Thank you. And
if we want to know what vast is, if we really want a large life, then we do want to start finding our way into that space between the thoughts.
Yes.
And going right through that into all that's beyond the conversation and conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott?
That was really helpful. The conversation with Mark at the end, I think Ashwini said, you know, something about isn't this amazing that we have a spiritual practice that will assist you to, you know, respond to a racist joke at a cocktail party. You know, just the practicality of it all.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the I was off property and at home, and one of the practices I was using was in the email class, I think it was class 5, it was about listening. And, you know, kind of emptying ourselves of all the opinions and positions and that kind of thing. And so what I would do, you know, basically I was driving around to see friends and things like that. I would listen to it on loop on my way over there. And it's just so fun to do something different, to see all the ways that you didn't know you were mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm.
And it really highlighted, like, how much pressure there was even building up to go see people.
Uh-huh.
You know, to be somebody.
Uh-huh.
You know,
to get in a story.
Yeah.
And then go with that story until there's this imaginary reality
yeah.
built up that you don't even know is there,
exactly.
except it's presented as real.
Yeah.
What is so? If somebody said, Scott, do you realize you're living in an artificial, made up, you go, no, I'm here and I'm driving to see my friend.
And I'm like this and I'm like that, and they're going to ask these questions and I'm going
to... Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just super relaxing. I mean, there was the particular way that class was written, but just to have something else to put my attention on,
mm-hmm.
rather than that unconscious conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, too, that it's challenging to stay in conversation and be present. You know, it seemed like I could kind of hold that attitude of mind for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and then...
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed the conversation that Jen and Beth had on Good News, uh-huh. and how easy that is in comparison, where there's a whole group of people sitting around a table and they're all talking, uh-huh. right? And you can just versus,
yeah.
right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's just that's a whole challenging deal.
Yeah.
As you say, a few minutes, and then...
Yeah. And sometimes I noticed that I would somehow kind of wake up. It would almost be like, who's talking right now? I could see myself. Who said that? You know? And then I... That would,
and then I heard it.
Yeah. And then I heard it. And it's like, oh, I'm in a programming. I could hear the programming talking to my friend. It's so bizarre. Uh-huh. And that would be, whatever that little grace was, back to the listening.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I mean, I just get a sense that people don't get listened to very often. You know, just people, like, no one's ever asked me that before. And all I was like, well, why do you, you know, they're talking about something they like to do. Well, what do you love most about it? Well, I don't know. No one's ever asked me that before.
I never thought about that.
I mean, it was something they really like, you know, just, just getting curious about things, you know, things should be like this, you know, just sort of asking about that and finding that people don't really know why.
Mm-hmm.
That you're just supposed to respond. I think the script is, yeah, they should, or yeah, I know what you mean. But no one has ever really asked them, like,
And isn't that the most bizarre? Yeah, I know what you mean. No, you don't. You know, no, you don't.
Right.
You don't. Or if I heard myself, no, I don't. I don't know what you mean. Yeah. No idea what you mean.
Yeah.
And that was one of the fun things of that email class, right? Because that's what people got. So three questions in, it's like, oh, I really don't know what you mean.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. They don't know what they mean.
Not right. Nobody knows what you mean.
No, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just kind of all on this, like, not quite finishing sentences, never really looked at anything. You know, things that are challenging, things that they love. It's just like, you know? But then also seeing, like, I got to hang out with my cousins and my cousin's kids, and my cousin was like, yeah, you're their favorite cousin. And she said, they just like that you ask about them.
Mm. Just that you're interested in.
Just simply being. And I was.
Attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody wants attention,
yeah.
Including us, right?
Oh,
but
yeah,
if we don't get it, conditioning gets it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And that's the other thing that's interesting is, yeah, I live with people all the time, and I feel full a lot. And, you know, going out there, I could feel being around people and leaving after hours of being around people and feeling that kind of dissatisfaction.
Oh.
You know, like, does anyone want to do some reflective listening out here? Because I would love to get back into that connection and, you know, didn't know, And it's just, just compassion for folks. Because I sense I can project that's a process for everyone. I want to go be with people and connect. And what we get is conditioning talking to conditioning, and the authenticity, what that wants to. Be present doesn't get a chance to.
And the you're together and you're completely lonely.
Exactly.
Because it's just no heart.
Yeah. And so, but just, you know, all of what I said, awareness practice is so, first of all, it's just so amazing. I mean, how life can be so different. You know, I just get to go out there and see, wow, you know, all the things I got to receive and see and notice. And, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just an amazing gift, and the practicality of it, you know, that I can go out and actually have relationships where I connect. I can actually see everything, all the barriers between me and love.
Mm-hmm.
There's a concrete way to do that, just like you were laying out for Mark, and there are these, it's a process, you know, these stages, and that's reassuring too.
It really is. I think it's probably why I was drawn to this practice, because it's not just, well, believe in this, and then feel that way, and do that. Not that they're not wonderful things, but I'm the person who's constantly saying, can you give an example of that? Can you give an example of that? How does that work? Because I don't get abstract ideas. I need, you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. Because otherwise, I always found it worked against me rather than for me. You know, anything that's not practical. I can sort of get the concept, but I don't know how to apply it.
That's interesting, and then I'll finish, but some people were asking me that, how did this happen? And I said, I don't know, have you ever had a teacher in your life that was just like, started to talk to you about something in your life? And you're like, how did you know that? You know, like went right into your life and knew exactly what you were talking about? I said, that's what my teacher is like. And what a draw. That practicality, that concreteness, that there's the example, there's how it applies right now in this moment.
And they went, well, that's what you do. That's what you're doing with us.
I didn't hear the radio show because I am in the gym at that time, but I'll listen to it for sure.
It was fun.
I don't know, there's just so much that about the times to talk about, but so I'll just start talking. So. One of the things that feels interesting to me is that it feels like one that the things that have unfolded very short time ago seemed impossible. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those times when truly the world feels like it has flipped about 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. And what an interesting disorienting position to be in. Mm-hmm. And if I can stay with what an interesting disorienting position to be in, which I can for moments, mm-hmm. it's truly just interesting. Mm-hmm. And it helps to loosen that sense of I have a grip on reality.
Right. You
know? Yeah. Because truly, I don't.
Yes.
And
we don't.
We don't. We don't, yeah. So that's just, I mean, that's in a way one of the gifts of the situation is that, you know, we're constantly told it's all an illusion, and a great deal of it was. And a great deal of what I assumed
yes.
absolutely was an illusion. Mm-hmm. And also there's the possibility that a great deal of what's happened is an illusion. Mm-hmm. And so it's all up for grabs.
Yes, yes.
And that's a really uncomfortable, but it feels like actually quite real place.
Yes, yes. Well, and it takes us... to me, anyway, it gives us a possibility of what we were just talking about with the vastness, we've been looking at it in terms of the context, right? And that we lose sight of that. We lose sight of awareness, mm-hmm. focusing attention on details, and so there we are when suddenly the details are basically ripped out of our hands.
Yep.
There is a possibility of seeing that larger mm-hmm. context.
Yeah, and in the news, in the analyses that go on, there's a lot of talk about identity politics. And that...
Identity politics.
Isn't that interesting? And so what it refers to in the media is that one political party got too concerned with being the party for all these sort of marginal minority type groups, and they lost track of the center sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and that phrase is so interesting to me because it's all identity politics. Mm-hmm. And so I find it helpful.
Well, but white people don't. That's not an identity.
That's assumed not to be an identity.
That's real.
That's the implication. I mean,
yeah.
It's so interesting. So and that's what's so funny about the term. I mean, what the term reminds me of is how limited our definitions are. But truly, it feels like it's a reminder that part of what's going on is that everybody's identity feels at stake. Mm-hmm. And identity always feels at stake. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately, it feels like that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. All that's happening is that people are just scared and hanging on to identities, and sometimes one's identity is on top, and sometimes one's identity is flipped, mm-hmm. just like the experience I'm having. Mm-hmm. And how helpful it is to have a practice in the midst of that can point out that that's actually quite healthy to have that all flipped.
Yes.
It often doesn't feel that way. But,
no.
But to trust that.
Oh, you can't hear? Okay. Okay. Where did you stop hearing?
It's often quite right.
Say what?
It's often quite healthy, is
it? Oh, to have it flipped.
That's healthy.
Yeah, quite healthy to have it flipped. I don't know where I was saying this, but to somebody. Y'all would be probably somewhere. But this book that I'm reading right now, it's about... Russia in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and the guy just does this like 20-year span of what happened, and basically there's nobody in the culture who didn't lose. It doesn't matter, you're left, you're right, you're aristocrat, you're a peasant, you're mm-hmm. old, you're young, you're whatever it is, it nobody mm-hmm. got what they wanted, mm-hmm. right? And to see it in such a short period of time like that, what an amazing thing! Because there's such a feeling of when things have been going on for a while. Well, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a big old long run of a lack of fascism, mm-hmm. yeah. And we were silly enough, some of us, to think that it was over. Mm-hmm. But Nothing is.
Yeah.
Because it's just that those identities mm-hmm. just swinging back and forth. And who's if you're getting what you want, you're on your way to complacent. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you're on your way to going for what you want, mm-hmm. and there it goes. Mm-hmm. Just the human, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, if that's where our treasure is, mm-hmm. we're bound to be unhappy.
Right.
Yeah.
We're bound to be, yeah, just tugged and tugged. And and it's also fascinating to watch kind of then how does one respond? And it has to be in the moment. And
has to be
in the moment.
It has to be in the moment. I'm sorry, I'll reflect.
It has to be in the moment. And you know, I'm feeling the pull to do something or to withdraw.
Yeah, do something or withdraw.
And to really say there is a middle way. And again, at any given moment, often that there is a middle way is simply a matter of trust.
Yes, it's a matter of trust, and what is there right here?
That's right.
So, you know, for us, it's, we can work on the garden. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, there are just a ton of things that we can do. And again, I'm going to ask Ashwini to drag out that article she was telling me about, the fellow who was making the point that nothing significant in the history of humanity has ever happened through politics.
Yeah.
It has always happened through groups of people getting together and deciding it's time for a change,
mm-hmm.
Which we just watched happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, maybe a different group of people are going to get together and decide on a change. So, it is, for those of us in practice, it really is a blessing, because that Chinese curse, you know, may you be born in a happy time. Mm-hmm. There it is. I mean, so many people just going to cruise right through this lifetime, just, you know,
mm-hmm.
just on top of everything. Mm-hmm. And forgetting that our on top of everything is at a big cost for other people that we don't pay attention to.
Yeah, there's an interesting interview with John Stewart. You know,
oh,
Daily Show.
Oh, John Stewart, yes.
And he was, people were saying, were talking about, you know, those awful racists too, you know, and how can we be sympathetic? And he said,
so they're talking about racism,
and how can
the racist, and how can you be sympathetic?
And he said, you know, we all are doing abusive things all the time, and but we just don't notice. And
we're all doing abusive things all the time, we just don't notice.
And he picked up his cell phone, he said, do you know how this is made? Do you know the ingredients mm-hmm. in this? Do you know how they're mined? And the person was sort of dumbfounded, and he said, and we just ride over that because we want the cell phone.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, we actually don't care.
We actually don't care. So it was just so helpful to have that perspective, mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's all I need to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Exciting times.
I'm just sort of like checking in because I'm hanging out here for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure what I'm going to say. So, other than, I can't believe the difference between staying here and going on a retreat. I have a habit of getting in a conversation about it, and I always call it, it's like a retreat, it's like Disneyland, you know? It's like so different. But it's really, it's very, very similar, but it's so different, and it's...
Yeah.
You know, and it's been, well, so...
and everybody in this room does know that you can take comfort in that.
Okay.
So we all laugh sympathetically because we all know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
In this case, we really do know what you mean.
So, like all this is very interesting. That's what's, you know, and the 9 o'clock show, I love that and everything. But I feel like where I am right now, it's like I'm just practicing, can I count my breaths? Can I do this without getting into a conversation? And it's like, you
probably
know, it's
not.
Like all over the place, all the time. Oh, there I go again. Okay, I'll be back. Oh, now here, you know, it's just, it feels awful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I realize that's just conditioning saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But I normally forget that it's conditioning saying that, and it just feels awful.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly so. Yes.
And so, okay, so it's just that, that's just how it is.
That's right? Just how it is.
Okay.
And with the conversation that we started out with, all you're doing is seeing ego really hate what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's been able to just, you know, jerk your strings and get you to whatever, take care of it in whatever way and feel whatever you feel. And then it'll tell you what to do about that, and you do it. And now it's just out of options. And you're watching it just come undone.
Yeah.
The thing that is most difficult, I think, for us is to stay in a place of, or, as you say, get back as frequently as you can to a place of realizing that it's coming undone, but you're not.
Well, I have experienced so many the minor physical manifestations, you know, all kinds of things are happening, like weird stuff, like, I don't, you know, tons of it. And, you know, I hope that's, you know, in a way a good sign, you know, that, like, there's a part of me that's really a mess.
Well, what you're getting to see, though, is that you are observing it.
Yes.
That's it. And so that's it. Nothing has changed. You know, it's just that always before, all the same processes were going on. But you weren't paying attention to what was happening because you were busy trying to accommodate ego's latest demand.
Right. I was in the car, driving along.
Yes. And so now you're just watching it all happen. And being aware that you are what is aware is the saving grace. Because you can be sitting there, we can do it with cold. Say, for instance, God, it's cold, isn't it? Did it just all of a sudden? Yeah, it's the suddenness, isn't it? If it would sneak up a little, but just one day and then. So there you are, and it's just freezing cold, and you can check in and realize that what knows that it's freezing cold, it is not cold. Mm-hmm. Which sounds completely silly, but it's true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's that story, and if you get into the story and get into, oh my God, yes it is, and my hands and my toes and my, oh my God, and this is awful, and I hate it, and it's horrible, then it's a really miserable experience. But if you just notice that the body is registering cold, but what you are is what's watching that happen, mm-hmm. and you check in and say, am I cold? You say, no, because you're not. Mm-hmm. So all that's going on, you're not identified with the ego that wants to suffer over it.
Something happened today. I think it was today.
I know, it runs together, doesn't it?
It totally runs together. Something happened today which was, I thought it was really like, wow, you know, this is amazing. But I'm not sure I understand it. So I'm in the garden and there's this task to do, but there's like only one more load to do, you know, and I just blurted out, boy, this is really hard. Right? And prior to that, I'm counting my breaths. I'm just going along. My arms hurt. My legs hurt. I can't catch my breath. It's just like awful, right? And I'm just like, just keep going. Just count your breaths. It'll be fine, you know, whatever. But I'm not enjoying it, right? And I was like, so that happened. I said, you know, this is much harder than it looks. You know, and Penny said, yeah, it is hard. And she said, do you want me to do, you know, do you want me to do a load? And I said, oh, there's only 15 minutes left. I said, no, there's only 15 minutes left. And then, so I did the last load, and all this energy, If nothing hurt, no problem. It just like goes. And like, so obviously there's this energy level that I normally can't access, that's just there and ready to go.
Yes.
And I'm not sure.
Right behind, my arms hurt, my legs hurt, oh my God, this is awful, I can't stand it. No. Right behind that.
It's all, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure I understand what released that energy.
Well, I guess the work period was over. Is that what happened?
Well,
was
it? Yeah, but I had one more load to do.
Oh, you did have.
There was only one more load to do. The period was over. I think it's like when Penny said, "I'll do the last load," I was like, "No, I'm not." You know, it hurts. It doesn't hurt that much. You know, I'm not gonna like. In a way, it's like no, I don't want to. It's like. I don't want to let you down. I can do this. I don't like it, but I'm certainly not going to just give in. Like, you know, I'm not going to have you do the load for me. I just didn't, you know. And I think that is probably what
I think so too, Rob. I think that's exactly it. In fact, I have something for you that I will find. It's where a guy talks about that experience and kind of presents it as sort of the Zen experience of that you're going along doing something and basically you're in ego resistance. And then the ego resistance falls away. And in that case, as you say, it's because somebody says, well, here, I'll do it for you. And in that moment, it gives you a chance to get off of, oh, this is awful, I hate it, I don't want to be, you know, no, I don't want you to, and then poof, there's the energy. And this guy is talking about that. He was actually loading boxes and on like a 12-hour shift. And it's what we talk about here, you know, the Zen experience. You have two choices, okay? You can be happy or unhappy. That's it. Because you're going to be in the garden and you're going to be doing those loads, and so you can either relax into it and enjoy it in the way that you discovered, or you can listen to a conversation and be completely miserable. But he was talking about going along, and then all of a sudden he just went through that barrier, and the boxes that had been so heavy were suddenly light. He had all this energy and there's this little spring in his step, and he felt like he could go forever. And he compared it to athletes who reach that, who talk about that, all of a sudden finding themselves in the zone. Mm-hmm. And they're just, you know, they talk about playing out of their mind, right? Which is, I'm no longer identified with conditioned mind. I'm now here, present, and life is flowing through, and there's an infinite amount of energy.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
Yes.
I'm glad to have experienced it.
Oh, yes. Now, of course, what you don't want to do is chase it. Mm-hmm. Because that's a fast way that this will make you miserable over it again. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is what you just said. You know the experience. So when all of that's going on, because that's what everybody falls for. No, this is really real, okay? I am really exhausted. And everything hurts, okay? I can feel it. It really hurts. It's true. And then you have that experience of, actually, it's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
I appreciate that conversation because I went through a lot of that. So that was great. And I was looking at the conversation. It may have been this morning or yesterday morning call. And she was talking about having life drop in, mm-hmm. things for inspirational things or being called to do certain things.
And was she the get a group of friends together to watch Gandhi?
Was that the one? Yeah, watch Gandhi, not be Gandhi. That was good. And and I've been watching that for the last couple of days. And seeing how life is so succinct. The language is very succinct. It definitely is not a conversation.
Yes.
It's not a conversation. But right behind it, I'll get information and be like, wow, okay. And then the conversation will start and it'll just diffuse it and it'll muddle it and it's interesting to see that movement, that process of it is constantly providing. If I'm here, I'm just given information all the time.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And sometimes not even in language, right?
Yeah, so not
there's
even
just
language.
A feeling or
a sense.
Yeah, sensory. The sense of something.
Right.
And then it'll come through, da 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 da, which I bet is what happened to her. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, there's this kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And then it comes to get a group of people together and watch Gandhi.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it starts in, well, you know, it's 4 hours long. When are you going to do that?
Yeah. Be a potluck and
right. You're going to have to clean the house. You're going to have to cook for everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to cost a fortune. I should give the money to a homeless shelter. I hate Gandhi.
Exactly. I was getting these really lit up ideas, and before you know it, it was just drudgery. Like, oh my God, if I take this lit up idea to its fruition, it's just drudgery. It's like, oh, that's all. Yeah. But if I just stayed with the initial inspiration, inspire, and it's funny. A lot happens in meditation, and I just get to a point where it's thank you, life, remind me later.
Right.
You know,
yes,
and give God's counting.
Yes.
Because I can't do anything with it.
Right.
I'm not going to write it down. I'm not going to move. I'm in meditation.
Yep.
So it's like, thank you. I acknowledge it, like, wow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you, life. Mm-hmm. Remind me later.
As soon as I get to paper and pencil, just give me a shout.
Exactly.
And it will.
And it does. It did. Mm-hmm. It many times. I'd be back in my hermitage, and, you know, sometimes I'd be like, even in bed, and be like, oh, wow, it's back. Mm-hmm. I want to get up and write that down, and I do. And just,
you're a brave man. Yeah. I don't know what kind of inspiration would get me out of bed.
Yeah. I got in there. Oh, I'm so layered up. I got a cap and a hoodie and a coat and a pair of pants.
You can just stand in the corner.
Oh, yeah. I'm like the Michelin man. It's like summer, and it was like 60s at night, and then all of a sudden we're like 29. I'm like, woo, or I'm guessing. There was ice on the car.
That's a good guess.
My car was iced up, and I'm like, no, we're back in Canada. I mean, that car was iced up.
Yeah.
So my hermitage had to be below 30.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
It was a good.
Only slightly colder than it is outside.
Slight mist on the windows, knowing that there's some living being in there. I wake up with a slight mist on the windows, like, okay, I made a little bit of a jump in the temperature. But I've been really appreciating the radio shows, and just I text about it as a process text is happening about I choose unconditional love, and it's so fun to hear Sangha kind of go with guidance and start. The great image that I have that I dropped in when I was texting is the geese in the V, and there's the lead, and a little course direction, like, I'm going to go here a little bit, and then all of a sudden everybody gets in line, and you know, it's like, yeah, and they start drafting, and then I've done this with the recording, and then I had this experience, and then it's like, oh, that's a great idea, and it's great, and it's an experience of mine with Sangha that we just build on each other,
yes.
And we draft each other, and we, you know, when we're strong, we lead, and when we're kind of going through some rough times, we hang back, but we're still in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
We're still being kind of pulled along.
Still together.
Yeah, we're still together. Mm-hmm. Still together. So I'm really appreciative.
And that's we really are fortunate in the communication that we have.
Yes.
I mean, truly. Because we can be in all of these conversations all the time. And as you say, I mean, lately a lot of people have been having a really hard time.
Yeah.
And a lot of really good stuff comes out of that.
Yeah.
And people's practice deepens and they get inspired.
Yeah.
And I want to underline that point that you made, because I think it's a really important one for all of us, that the intelligence is talking to us all the time, is guiding us all the time.
Yeah.
And if we stay in that conversation, if you want to think of that as a conversation, then we are in that lit up, guided by life place. And we don't need to do anything with any of that. We just, I mean, if there's something to be done, you'll know, right? But we can just stay in that lit up place. And then the next thing comes, and the next thing comes, and the next thing comes. And that going off and letting it, ego dissipate it, mm-hmm. There are the couple of downsides. One, that one goes, mm-hmm. right? And then you miss all the ones that would have been between that one and when you come to again.
Yeah.
And so just to realize that it's okay just to stay in that place of inspiration.
Yeah, that place of inspiration, yeah. It's been good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was one other thing about the conversation that I've been, the mark that I've been looking at, which is that place of not putting oneself in, it's not a context. It's not a contest. So looking at what are those places where I'm genuinely avoiding, how do you calibrate those? So if I'm sitting at the dinner table with my family, I chose to go home, so I put myself in that place. And that dinner table is an inevitable place where I can choose to be present and practice. But I've been just sitting with that question as a koan, because I don't listen to news. I actually don't want to be in the energy of what's going on, and I find myself getting upset, and the energy systems, it doesn't feel like a helpful place. If I'm sitting in an airplane, and there's stuff that's streaming or whatever it is, and I can't avoid that place of disintegration that I go to, I want to be okay and free, but I also don't want to be in that. I mean, there's that, it's a discernment question of how do I decide when I want to face something that is clearly an ego place of suffering versus a place which is not helpful. Well, by exposing myself to it.
It does seem that life is happy to answer that question for us.
Yes.
Right? That we do find ourselves in those places that put us in touch with. One of the things early on, I haven't seen this in years and years and years, and if I think of it again, I'll look it up, but I think it's like Dogen, I think it's Dogen, wrote these 250 rules for practice. Mm-hmm. And a huge part of it is all of the things that you shouldn't think about. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. In great detail. Yeah. So, you know, you only have to encounter them once. And they're in there,
mm-hmm.
right? If you recited them with any regularity, I mean, it's just like a programming system for, you know, don't think about peanut butter or that sort of thing. And so I always thought that was funny. I mean, I would love to have been able to talk to him about what would motivate that. Because I swear, a lot of these things, these guys, I'm sure in 12, whatever it is, might never have occurred to them. But by the time he got finished with them, you know, it did occur to them. So if we just go along with, you know, if the voice says, well, you don't like to watch the news, so you should watch the news. Probably not. But as you say, if you find yourself, you know, you're going to catch a flight, you're in an airport, there's a television every 5 feet, then you're probably going to encounter some of this. So at that point, can you approach it as a workshop? Mm-hmm. You know, okay, here we go. And then you're bringing conscious awareness to it instead of going into it with a, oh, God, I don't want to do this. This is miserable. I hate this. I wish I could get away from it. So it seems to me that everything we need always is provided for us.
One thing that dropped in, I think someone talked about this, and what dropped in, you know, in the way that koan gets answered, was not anything related to the question, but something else, which was like, why wouldn't you move towards those places where you can be listening to life instead?
And what would that look like?
Well, in the sense of, why is the question about avoiding...
I see. Uh-huh. Why is it always going toward the negative?
Right. So the thing that you were talking about, right, we listen to a radio show, we listen to these archives, and we listen to the recordings of unconditional love as portals to the expansiveness of all that is. That's the place where we need to be living in order to be able to do anything. And it was just that as the suggestion of, you don't have to solve the problem of what you need to be avoiding or what you need to put yourself into in order to be able to face your fear. Because the ultimate, the words fail me, but I'm going for union with the beloved.
Yes.
I'm seeking the beloved. Not trying to figure out what's going on to my energy system because I'm exposing myself to something that's negative. That's not taking me towards my beloved. So where do I go?
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, and it does. So when we look at how things seem to be structured, what we see is that the negative has a lot more pull for people than does the positive. I would guess that's why egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has been so successful throughout the kalpas, right? So ego pulling people toward it, getting attention through the negative, through suffering, through what's wrong, through, you know, all yeah, greed, hate, and delusion. There's a tremendous pull toward that. Now, again, I was kidding about Dogen's 250 things not to focus on, but he also did a beautiful job of explaining what to focus on, right? And how to be it as we practice, right? And so, yes, absolutely, to be able to turn our attention toward the beloved, toward the divine, and to choose that, which I think is why we sit and why we're in silence and why we practice in the way that we do. But there's also an encouragement against quietism. Mm-hmm. So it is possible, especially for those of us who are privileged, to set up our lives such that we can actually avoid an awful lot that we don't want to encounter because we're not required to encounter it. And if the pull then is toward quietism, that's not an encouragement. That's not encouraged either because there's no there's no freedom in it. That then when everything is turned upside down, suddenly I'm without resources because I was only doing well because things were kind of going my way. Mm-hmm. So again, to make our choice in each and every moment for what we want to focus on, but also always to be looking to that which is, or the divine, God, whatever you want to, in order to be guided. And then we will be in the places where we need to be for what's best for us. At least that's how it seems to me. That's my experience of it. anytime, which is the argument against a conversation in the head, right? Because without a conversation in the head, there's no, I only want to have this experience. I don't want to have that experience. I can choose the experience that I want to have in any circumstances. That's different from choosing the circumstances.
Do you say that?
Say what?
So let me make sure I'm with you. Choosing the circumstances is different from being okay in any circumstance. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Well, and I can choose where I want the focus of attention. So I can choose unconditional love in any circumstances. Mm-hmm. That's different from only choosing only circumstances that I like.
That's very helpful. Because that is the reverse of the question, right? That I don't want to be in situations that cause my energy system to get depleted because I'm listening to negativity. So I'm going to turn off all the news because I don't want to expose myself to that. Versus I can find...
Which Dogen was very supportive of, by the way.
Pardon?
Dogen was very supportive of that, by the way.
Well, it's...
I mean, he laid out, don't have conversations with these people, don't have these kinds of conversations, don't, you know, if what you want to do is awaken. Yeah. That doesn't mean that life won't put you in a situation where that is happening to you.
Right.
But that's not the same as going out and putting yourself in that position.
Especially if you're not trained.
Yes.
Right?
That,
I mean,
yeah.
It's what you were talking to Mark about, which is if I'm practicing with it, then I have to have my experience of various encounters so the transformation can happen in me.
Yes. Yes. And we can trust life to guide us perfectly. And the good news is we'll be guided perfectly without any need for conversation. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so relaxing. Did that speak to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what it would drop me into is that question came from a conditioned place.
Well, it's an interesting exploration.
It's not an answerable question.
I thought I did a really
good job. I thought there would be a place where I saw an answer.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.